So, this man is one of the most versatile creators on the YouTube platform. He has multiple channels. He's been growing like wildfire lately. They call him DJ No Tech. And he's coming up next on Vibe Drive, episode 48, which starts now. What's up, people? This your boy, Viper, the man about tech. And welcome back to another episode of Vibe Drive. This is the podcast about tech, hosted by the man about tech. And tonight, I am bringing in one of my good creative friends and versatile, multifaceted, badass dude, Mr. CJ No Tech. What's up, bro?
Hold up. What up, player? What up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Oh, we doing good, man. How you doing, though?
Oh, man, I'm living, man. I'm blessed.
Man, I know, man. You stay busy. You stay blessed. You be doing a thing, bro. I see you all over the place, man. I can't keep up with you no more, bro.
I know. For the end of this year, man, I did ramp up, like, my content, like, release load and production and everything. I'm just trying to get it all out before this year is over, man.
No doubt, man. I mean, this is the time on YouTube where if you want to grow as a creator, just put the content out there and the people will come, no doubt.
Yeah, 100%, man. I'm trying to ramp off these videos I want to get out. And then, like, I'm really, really focused on my 2020 content strategy, man. I mean, you know, we'll talk. I guess we'll talk about that later or whatever. But, yeah, I'm really focused on 2020.
No doubt, man. No doubt. 2020 is right around the corner. So I guess it's a good time to get focused on that stuff.
100%.
So, where do I start with you, man? So, you call yourself CJ No Tech. So I'm kind of interested to know how you came about that handle.
It's crazy because when I first started off my channel, my name was like 300 views per second. And I was having a hard time figuring up a name. And it's funny because I think I was watching like a Super Saf video and he had on a shirt. It said something about views. And then something just popped in my head, 300 views per second. I didn't really have like a solid meaning behind it or whatever. And then as the channel started to actually like catch traction and grow, and I started to have a little more of a presence in the tech space, I was like, man, I got to change my name. Even I had a few comments. Yo, shout out to, it was one person who was very consistent. And that person really made me sit back and think, and it made sense. He like, you know, your name doesn't line up. It doesn't, you know, it's complicated. Even when I told people, so I need something simplified, you know? So I wanted to make it a little bit more personable. Everyone that knows me personally calls me CJ. And then I added on the Nose Tech. And that kind of like gave me more of a focused niche. Like it added tech to the name, which kind of gave people an expectation. And that's exactly how I got there.
Yo, that is some radical stuff, man. I remember watching your videos in your earlier days. And as part of your intro, you were like, I like sneakers and everything creative.
Oh, yeah.
And then you ended up changing the intro.
Yeah.
So I know your love of sneakers didn't just go away. You just had to put it to the background and get it right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. 100,000%, man. I got like 1, 2, 3, 4 pairs of shoes sitting under my desk right now. 5, 6. Dude, I'm a sneakerhead to the core, dude. That's one thing. And that was the thing. You know, the funny thing when I first started YouTube, actually the angle or the niche I wanted to go in was sneakers. But like my first videos were like the equipment I got, like the camera, the video mic. And then eventually in the midst of me creating a multi, like you said, I do a lot of different things. It was a smartwatch took off and I was like, all right, tech is where I'm going.
Ah, okay. I got you. So, I mean, I guess before we get into the tech stuff, do you have a certain favorite brand of sneaker or do you just like all the brands?
Right now, as far as comfort, Adidas, I mean, I love all brands. Nike is like Nike's the king, man. Jordans, I love Jordans. Right now, I'm more leaning toward Jordan 1s because those are more comfortable. And then like the 11s, Jordan 11s, the breads come out. So like it's certain Jordans, sneakers. Dunks is my all-time favorite sneaker. So SB, Nike, Dunks are my all-time favorite. And then Jordans and Adidas for comfort, like all of the Boost brands.
Yeah, man. When I was back in high school, I couldn't afford them, but I really wanted, I think it was the Jordan 13, the patent leathers. Oh, my God. I still, to this day, want those gym shoes.
And that's exactly how I got back, like, all the shoes that I wanted when I was young that I couldn't get. When I got older and I, you know, I got like, oh, I could buy them. They bring them all back out. and I started, and I just like it spiraled out of control. And yeah, I've toned it back since though.
No doubt. Now, it's funny that I'm talking to you tonight because me and you have had kind of a similar rise up in the tech space. We were both featured on Front Page Tech as creators of Awesomeness. So tell me, how did that come about for you? Like, what made you submit your video, and like what was the thought process behind that?
And it came at a so the timing was like right when I was taking YouTube serious. I started taking YouTube serious. It was like August when the Galaxy Note 8 had came out, and I was just like, I'm going hard. And I used to watch John Front Page Tech, and I saw him post that he was putting that out, and I'm like, all right, CJ, like at this point I'm being very like ambitious, and I'm like, man, I'm going. And I was just like, let me just create a clip of a video that they would not forget. And I just went crazy in the video. I'm sitting there and I'm like, yo, if you don't pick me, I got the note in my hand. I'm smashing it, you know, doing my thing. And it worked out. And I'm forever grateful for the opportunity. And I saw like the thing that like Cody was talking about earlier about him and having Peter give him a shout out. Well, like, you know, John was my first shout out. And man, I'm super thankful for John giving me that opportunity.
No doubt, man. I think we are.
Hey, man, both. Brian, let me no not doubt, leave out B-Shoot.
Of course, you can't leave out Brian, man. But I think we are both thankful to John Prosser and Brian Shoup for giving us that that spotlight way back in the beginning. But before you got the creator of Awesomeness, though, you were building your channel up on Samsung Galaxy Note content. Yes. So how did, I mean, was it just one video that sparked it for you, or was that your plan all along to build your channel off of Galaxy Note 8 content, or like how did that come to be?
Well, I had wanted a Samsung Galaxy Note for a while. Like, I wanted them way back, you know. Okay, for those who don't know, if you under a rock, I am an Apple user natively. Like, I've been using iPhone since like the iPhone 3GS going back. So, but when the Galaxy Note first came out, like I'm talking about the first big phone, that always appealed to me. And it got to a point with Apple where I was like, man, if they don't release a big phone, I'm leaving. Luckily for Apple, they released the 6 Plus. So I stayed that year. And then the Note 7 was coming out and I was intrigued by it. I was like, man, I really wanted that phone. I was dedicated. And we all know what happened with that phone.
Oh, so yeah.
I had to wait another year or another cycle for the Note 8. So I built up. I was like, yo, I'm gonna get it. And what I did was, to get me ready to go into the Android platform, I grabbed the Huawei 6P in the meantime. I was just doing research, looking on YouTube, trying to look for some of the dopest Android phones. I landed on the Nexus 6P. It was affordable. You know, it was a thing called Pure Android. And I grabbed like the Huawei Watch. And then I was just prepared. Just for some reason, the Note is just the phone that I gravitated to. And I was like, when this Note 8 drops, when I get it, I'm going.
And you're like I said, you started making that Note 8 content, and your channel then just took off from there. And then when you got the creator of Awesomeness shout out, it just really just, you never looked back, man. You just went pew, you just shot out into the stratosphere, bro.
Man, I was hungry at that time. I was like, whatever type of exposure I was able to get at that moment in that time, I was just going to take advantage of. And yeah, man, after that got me hyped. And I was like, yeah, all right, content is coming.
No doubt. So not too long ago, or maybe it was longer than I thought or than I know, but you formed the triad with my dudes, Terry Warfield and C-Kid Tech.
Yes.
So you guys are the Creator Cafe. But something interesting happened before all that came about. You guys all wanted to end up at the Galaxy Note 9 like Unpacked event, but you guys didn't get a chance to get the invite that year. So all of you all made a pact to get invited to the Note 10 event. And you guys ended up all getting invited to the Note 10 event. So what I'm interested to know from you, CJ, is what did you guys change from the Note 9 event that you didn't get invited to the Note 10 event that you did get invited to? What changed in your content, your strategy, your outlook? What changed to get you invited to that event 1 year later?
All right. So here's the funny thing. All three of us had been featured in a Samsung type of video or thing. Like Terry Warfield was on Samsung's big screen at their events twice. I had got to be featured on it one time. And then C-Kid, he shot like a whole music video and things with Samsung. So it was like, you know, we had got a taste of like possibilities to to grow a relationship with Samsung. So we're like, yo, we want to be at that. We want that type of swag where we at Unpacked event. And, you know, we want early access. We want to go that route as far as a relationship with Samsung. Now, my credit, I give credit. It has nothing to do with me. I give all credit, number one, to Terry. People don't know, man. Terry Warfield and then Devin, because they have relationships and their relationships sparked the opportunity for us to be able to be at the Note 10 event. So I give all credit to those two. I'm just happen to be, I guess, at the right place at the right time with the right people. And that's kind of how it goes. You got to really networking and relationships and who you know and who you meet and how you treat people goes a long way. So to all these creators that are coming up, man, just be mindful of that. Don't burn bridges. Don't get out here. Like, this is a business. It's not personal. It's not about, you know, your personal, like, vendettas or dramas or it's really a business. And, you know, when you meet people or you have the opportunity, you have to leave the proper and right business-minded impression. So, but yeah, all credit due to Terry and Devin for me being there.
Now, it's funny to me. Well, it's not funny, but it's interesting to me that you talk about not burning bridges and building relationships and things like that. I am not a big creator at all. I got like 3,000 subscribers on my main channel. You are bigger than me. You got like 30,000, but you're not really a bigger creator per se. But we have both had opportunities with bigger brands and things like that. So what would you say to up-and-coming creators, TJ, who believe that they are limited by their sub count? Because we both know that's not true. That's garbage. But a lot of creators have that mindset that they are limited by their sub count and they can't go out and work with the brands that they think they can or that they will want to because of their sub count. What would you tell creators that are up and coming about how the sub count really doesn't matter? It's all about the hustle, grind, and the work.
Number one, they're focusing on the wrong number. They're looking at the subscriber count and they're looking at the view count. Especially in this day and age, engagement and true, like, authentic, organic reach to viewers and audience members is what matters most. Because, you know, I can have 100,000 or whatever, I can have 500,000 subscribers, but if they don't rock with me or these people don't take my word as weight or authentic, or, you know what I mean, if I'm not taken seriously as a creator, then, you know, a brand working with you or building a relationship like that has no weight. So I really admire you, Viper, for, like, you know, you have a go-getter attitude, dude. You don't slack off. You're fearless. You're willing to go reach out to who and whatever and say, hey, I got this going on over here. I want you to come be a part of it. And if they say, hey, this, I'm not busy, I'm busy now, this is the opening, you'll come back. You're very persistent. And it's the same thing as a creator. Like, I have a list of brands that I like or that I appreciate and that I have on my list in my mind that I want to work with. And a lot of them are bigger brands. So I sit and I focus on that. And, you know, you can materialize anything in this day and age. So don't focus on the sub numbers. Don't focus on the views. Focus on your content, your organic reach. Focus on authenticity. Like, that will go the furthest among everything. Focus on your content that you're creating, like the quality of content and the value. That's number one.
That is very sound advice. And when you say focus on your authenticity, to me, I take that as focusing on maintaining or establishing and maintaining your credibility. Because as I said before in these live streams and podcasts, the number one connection between creator and audience is trust and credibility. If you can build that trust, if you can build that credibility, that will take you a long way no matter how many views or subs you have. When you lose that credibility or you do something to put that credibility, that trust in danger, that is when you are going the wrong way and you need to rethink what you're doing. But it doesn't matter what your sub count is or what your view count may be. If you can establish trust and credibility with your audience, it will take you to levels that you don't even know possible.
100,000%. And I like that word is a word that's like going to be the forefront of my 2020, like authenticity. I don't think people really realize like how much it matters. Like me, I don't do the traditional tech reviews at this moment. Like I just turn on the camera and I let my excitement for tech just like bleed out of me. And people see that. And the reality is, okay, I'm leveraging that far more than the quote unquote tech review. And what that does is it builds an organic reach with the people that like appreciate that. But now I'm focusing going into 2020 and bringing more of the like traditional tech more into it. I'm still going to stay me. I'm still going to stay enthusiastic, but I'm really focusing on quality of content and value. So I want the people that are there to have the value. I want people to leave with the value and the entertainment as well.
Yeah, I think you raised a good point, man, because it's like you said, being authentic it matters a lot because people see that. If you're not authentic, if people can't trust you, you lose that credibility because you're not being authentic. And then people can see right through that. And then they'll question why they trust you or they'll question why they're watching you. So it's very important to maintain that authenticity and come across as authentic and genuine to your viewers so they can maintain and establish that trust in you.
100%. And also, I just want to say it doesn't come right away. It's not an instant thing. Like what we do is awkward. You sit there in a room by yourself, yelling at a camera or whatever, or speaking to a camera, and you're trying to make it as natural and as normal as possible. And then as you develop and as you become more and more comfortable, hopefully you're letting more and more of your authentic self out as you grow. Like a lot of people, it's easier to put on a persona or to mimic what you see out there just to feel more comfortable because you're not technically being you or you're not being really who you are. But you know, the fear and the truth in being your true authentic self, that's where people really get worried, because then a comment might sting a little bit more or a comment might affect you a little bit harder because you being who you really are. But if it's a persona, you can hide behind that. And that's, you know, a lot of people do it. It's a dangerous thing because in the long run, you'll look in the mirror and you can't even be the person in the mirror on camera or as a creator because, you know, you married that persona. So I just want to speak out to authenticity 100,000%.
Yeah, man. Obviously, when you don't camera, you want to present your best self on camera, but you can't,
you know,
you can't stray too far from the road, man. You got to stay on the road because, like you said, if you stray too far, then you lose your identity. And that's definitely not what you want to do. So I want to get into your camera content. Now, there's three people on YouTube that change cameras like frequently, like so frequently, I can't keep up. We got Everyday Dad, we got Technically T, and then there's this dude called CJ Knows Tech. Y'all change cameras more than anybody I know. So right now, CJ, what is your go-to camera of choice?
I'm gonna show you.
Oh, he gonna now, break it out.
I mean, it's right here. My favorite camera right now is the Canon EOS R. And it's ironic because when this camera first came out, I was like, oh, that's terrible. You know, I was hardcore Sony head. I'm like, that can't compete. But as you develop as a creator and you start to have different needs and wants, you start to be like, well, you start to get curious. I was like, you know, you're hearing things, you're seeing things. And I got curious. So I like to try it. Like me, the one thing about me with tech or cameras or the equipment, I want to have it in my hands and I want to use it. So that excites me. So, yeah, man, I've been willing to dibble and dabble with a lot of cameras and touch them and use them, because that's the only real way I can know what I really want, what it really can offer me. And then I can go back with that knowledge and relay it. So it's funny you bring up cameras, because I'm finna start bringing out a lot of camera content. Some of it's going to be on CJ Knows Tech, but then some of it's going to be on my camera. A lot of it is going to be on my camera dedicated channel.
It wasn't that long ago where me and you were using the same camera, because I used the Sony A7 III, which is what I'm streaming from right now. And you were using the A7 III too.
I mean, come on, it's still in the crib. Like, it ain't going nowhere. The A7 III.
I'm not going nowhere.
Now, the one difference between me, Everyday Dad, and Technically T is I will not sell my A7 III. I don't think I will.
Good man. Good man. This is one of the best cameras in the game. I don't know what they get out there, man. It's crazy.
100%. Like, I don't know if I could ever part with it. Even though I'm going hardcore with the EOS R, and see, the thing is, this is what a lot of people don't do. Like, push yourself out of your comfort zone. Like, my comfort zone is Sony. Canon is outside of my comfort zone, but in me being able to willing to try and experience a new platform, I've discovered that a lot of things in that new platform I like and are tailored to me as a creator. So Yeah, man, I would try and touch any and everything. Now, cameras are pretty expensive, though, player. That's why.
Yeah, no kidding.
We got to work out relationships and partnerships.
No doubt.
Try to get these, you know, get my hands on
them. Yeah, you're not kidding. And what you say about cameras, about being willing to try new different cameras and things like that, is the thing for being a creator, you know.
100.
As a creator, you have to be willing to go outside of your comfort zone if you want to grow. Because as I always say, nothing grows inside of your comfort zone. I mean, what are you going to do there? The same thing over and over again. That is the literal definition of insanity, and that is not going to help you grow as a creator. So, DJ, go ahead.
Nah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
All right. So, I was just going to say, speaking of that, that's really what my my whole 2020, like, I'm restructuring me and as a creator. Like, I'm stepping outside of my comfort zone going into 2020. I'm doing a lot of research. I've been really deep diving and trying to, like, study this platform and what I want to really offer to it and which direction I really want to go. So definitely got to get out of that comfort zone. And that comfort zone is like, trust me, you guys, like, I had a wake up call this year when I compared this quarter for me last year compared to this quarter for me this year. And last year I crushed my quarter than I did this year. And I was a little like thrown off by it. But as a total of the year, I had a overall better year. But like, when you just compare this quarter to the last quarter, and it served me up a slice of humble pie, and it made me like sit back and be like, let me go back to who I was and get back to the basics of what I was back then when I was crushing it, and then, you know, building up from there.
No doubt, man. You got to be able to self-analyze and figure out what's going right and what's going wrong, and then be able to pivot and adjust to the changing that you need to make to become a better creator, no doubt. But I've been watching your content ever since, like, you had 3,000 subscribers back since when you got nominated for Creator of Awesomeness. And you use a certain term a lot. And I need to know what you mean when you use a certain term in your videos, DJ. Now, a lot of times you will refer to certain people or certain things as tech snob. I need to know, DJ, who are you talking about, or what do you mean when you use that terminology, tech snob, bro? What are you talking about? Talk to him, baby.
No. To be honest, there are different levels of the technology snob. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes when I say technology snobs, I'm talking about the people who are pessimistic in the tech community, who are just unhappy, you know what I mean? Unable to be pleased, the pessimistic, you know, there's a dark corner in the tech space. You know, we try not to shine too much light on that corner. And then there's also like the technology snob that I could fall into, this category at times too, where we just like, we really are about, you know, the biggest and the best, and we want the most souped up tech. And, you know, we get, how can I say this? I don't know. We get, I guess, unappreciative to a degree of what we do have in the tech space. So, you know, it's my word to like, kind of like smack people, smack my fellow creators, smack my fellow tech lovers upside the forehead and say, wait, like, is this really that bad, or is it actually a really dope device? And let's just like live in the moment of tech right now and let's enjoy it. And then we can say our things constructively and we can feed these companies what they need to give us more of what we want, which we've been seeing a lot lately, especially with Apple, man. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of surprised, but yep. I ain't even going to lie. Technology snobs are needed, not the dark pessimistic ones, but the the strategic critical yet optimistic ones.
Yes. And I, like you, probably could fall under that category sometimes, especially as it relates to having the latest and greatest equipment, being at the bleeding edge of technology, because I have an iPhone 11 Pro Max and that's my choice. I mean, I can't really see myself. I definitely wouldn't get an iPhone 11 and an iPhone 11 Pro is cool, but it's just too small. I need the top of the top. I need to be at the top of the food chain. So I got to have the 11 Pro Max. That's the technology snob in me. But I try to be positive if possible, because I know, like you said, there's a lot of pessimists in the tech space and people that are just unappreciative of the things that are going on in the tech space. So we got to calm that down a little bit.
100%. You need to cue up the Flossie Carter voice. Yeah, I'm going to need all the technology snobs to calm down.
Yo, technology snob, calm down. I got you.
But, you know, like one of my goals, too, in the tech space, like I like to bring optimism and positivity. That's kind of just me in general. The tech space is very Clicky and Gengi. And I don't know if it's the full, I don't know what percentage of the tech space actually falls in this category, but you know, we see it in the comments. And I'm pretty sure it's a lot more positive and mature tech lovers out there, but you guys don't leave comments. Go ahead and leave more comments and hit the like button on all of our videos and let us know you out there. Matter of fact, y'all need to smash the like on this Vibe Drive right now. I see y'all out there. Hit the smash that like button. But yeah, you know how it is, Viper.
Oh, you know, I mean, we in the creative space. We own there. We in the public eye. I know, absolutely. Just some people were, like I said, some people are just unappreciative of the changes that are being made. Now, like I said, I kind of fell into that earlier in the year because, you know, when you get the newest technology year over year, you see the incremental changes and you're not that impressed. You become kind of jaded. I won't say I was jaded, but I think I was at a place earlier in the show. I was telling people not to buy the iPhone 11 Pro Max or the iPhone 11 period based off a leak that we were getting early in the year. But then I got the iPhone 11 Pro Max and I started using it. And I was like, damn, this phone is right. Woo.
And that's exactly what you said is key. Like when you use the latest and greatest, the top of the top year over year, you start to see that, yes, the improvements are incremental in comparison. But to the person, these are the people I speak of, for the person who got to wait for the 2-year contract to be up or the 3 years that they wait. And they, this phone that we bashing is their dreams and hope. And we sitting there, it brings mixed signals to the consumer. And I think at some point we have to realize, like, and it's crazy because I did a poll and I was asking my subscribers, what do you guys look for in a tech review? You know, like, I'm just trying to find out what do they really want and what do they really need? And one person in there, he was very honest and very right about how, like, tech reviewers, we become more about how we feel and how we see it as opposed to just laying out what someone who's just coming to us to find out what the layout is of this phone and how it can benefit and value that person. So I think we got to have two perspectives. We could do the one for us where we get all opinionated in our perspective, but we also have to consider the consumer who's not into what we into and they just want the layout. Like, and that's the stuff that, like, I'm trying to incorporate more going into 2020 while still keeping it, you know, while still dropping the players and keeping it fun and everything, but also being very value driven for that consumer that's just not, you know, that's what they're here for, is the value. How does this work? How does that feature work? Does it work? Is it good enough? Can I bet my money on this because I'm finna spend the next 2 to 3 years with this phone?
Absolutely. I think, like, you bring up a good point. When we're doing our reviews and videos as technology experts, we need to kind of cater our content more towards the average consumer because we're trying to relate to them the best options that they have for them and how things affect them more than it affects us, because we know what we're talking about. We know what we're looking for and what we want. But the average consumer might be watching our videos to get a better idea of the product that they're considering. So we need to be more mindful of them and how they feel. And now let me stop real quick for some promotional podcast stuff. First of all, shout out to my man, my head of security, El Jefe Reviews, for the $5 super chat.
What up, Jeff?
No doubt. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you, bro. So if you're looking at the podcast on the YouTube live stream right now, super chats are open if you guys want to donate. If you guys don't want YouTube taking a 30% cut of your super chat, the Buy Me a Coffee link is in the description. For those of y'all that listen to audio only, if you want to support the podcast, there will be a Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes, so be sure to check that out. And if you guys are watching on Twitch, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. But yeah, man, CJ, it's crazy out here, man. Now, you brought up a comment earlier that I really want to get into. This is not really tech-related, but it's something that I'm going to rant about it. I was going to dedicate an entire podcast to ranting about this tonight. But since you're here, I'll try to bounce it off you and see what you think about this.
Thing.
Yes! This pisses me off! So, basically, we got people out here who will turn their nose up and straight belittle creators for getting a shout-out or getting noticed. Let me tell you, punk, something real quick. How do you think your favorite A-list celebrity got where they are today? They probably got discovered. People get discovered in all phases of life. It's not just in the creative space where people get discovered. A lot of your bigger stars and whatever avenue that they're in, they got discovered. It is not wrong for somebody to get a shout out or get discovered. There is a reason why Cody got discovered by Peter McKinnon. It's because Cody made badass, exceptional content that caught the eye of Peter and everybody else. It wasn't just Peter who Ooh, I was caught by coding content. Daryl Eve got put on the coding content as well. So obviously Cody is doing something correctly to have people acknowledging content. Just like me and CJ got noticed by John Prosser early on, because we've been putting in the grind, putting in the hours, getting better at our craft. John Prosser put us on blast on his Front Page Tech news show because he felt like we were putting in that work and we were doing big things. We were doing right. So this idea of people getting like mad and just upset at people getting shout out. Listen, the shout out is not a gift. It's not a hand-me-down. It's more of an acknowledgement of the hard work and dedication that you put into your craft. And it's basically somebody just showing you or telling you that they see you. They see what you're doing. Keep doing the work. A shout out does not guarantee success. It doesn't guarantee superstardom because you still have to put in the work moving forward. Because you could just as easily get a shout out and then lose all the recognition from that shout out if you don't continue to put in the work. So I don't agree with all this negative animosity toward creators or other people that get shout outs or discover, because this is not a new thing. This happens in all aspects of life and all types of jobs. When you get that promotion at your regular 9-to-5, you probably got discovered by your boss or manager, which is why you were on the radar for that promotion in the first place. But let me shut up and start rambling and get my man CJ No Tech views on shout outs and people being discovered.
Man, the cosign is always there. Like, it's like you said, it's repeated in history, man. Like, for instance, if I'm at a certain level and I'm big and I see someone grinding and I appreciate it and I just want to, like, yo, shout people out, like, turn people on to this person. Like, yo, I think what this guy over here is doing is worth it. I think it's dope. Y'all go check it out. That's all it is. And, you know, people who belittle that or whatever, like, that's just, it's that pessimistic, that negative, that you know, that hate, you know what I mean? Like the jealousy, like people, it's crabs in a bucket mentality. Like people don't want to see the next person shine above them. People don't want to see the next person get ahead of them. Like everyone wants you running in misery side by side, hip to hip with them. And when you break out and you run up front, you're going to get criticized and ridiculed. Like I responded to Cody, like, hey, someone can shout you out all day, but even if those people run over there and instantaneously subscribe, your content and your what you put out in your work ethic had to keep them there. Because if I'm subscribed and I'm looking, I'm like, what is this? And I click on it and I'm like, who is this? Oh my, and this is terrible. I'm out of there. Like, and also I think people don't give up their subscribes easy. Like it's not just like I'm just gonna go over here and subscribe. I'm pretty sure they watch a video or two or three or four or five. And with the way Cody content was, and when I got turned on to Cody, it was very consumable. It was short, it was quick, and it was fulfilling. So like you can watch 5 to 7 videos in the span of what other people's 2 or 3 videos would have equaled, because they were short and bite-sized and they were like just very value-driven. So man, Cody earned every bit of every subscriber he has. He would have got there regardless. Yes, a shout out from Peter is a bump, and it's just a push to the forefront. And if you're not ready to deliver, if his channel was trash, if he wasn't consistent, he wouldn't have gained any type of following from that. So, yo, all of the value and credit and the shout out goes to Cody.
No doubt, man. And it's like I said on Twitter the other day, if you got time to hate on somebody's success, that means that you are spending your time very poorly. And that's the reason why you're probably not where you think you should be, because you're wasting time hating on other people's success instead of working on your own. So that's your fault. That's nobody's fault but your own. Do better, period.
100,000%.
Ridiculous, man. Ridiculous. So let's get back to tech a little bit. So, Mr. CJ, we are fastly approaching the end of 2019, and me and you both have used a fair amount of smartphones this year. So CJ, out of the phones that you've used, that you've gotten your hands on this year, you know where I'm about to go. What is your 2019 smartphone of the year, sir? For those of y'all that are listening on audio only, he is holding up an iPhone, either 11 Pro or Pro Max.
It's 11 Pro. I skipped out on the Max this year. I mean, so many of these big phones, I just want to take a break. And you know, it's funny because I put out a video where I like had a comparison between the 11 Pro, the Pixel 4 XL, and the Note 10 Plus. And I was just kind of going over my point of view on user experience and throughout of them. But when it comes to the pound for pound, the total package, I mean, battery life, camera, You got the ecosystem. You got the smooth iOS as usual. And even though it's not as feature packed as the Note 10, and even though, well, it doesn't have, I guess, the stills that you get out of the Pixel, encompassing all in all, man, the 11 Pro is hands down the best phone of 2019. And I can say that not from a biased Apple user standpoint, but just from a tech lover, because that's all I am. I'm just a lover of tech, or a tech lover. You know what I mean? I just love tech, period. Yeah, iPhone 11 Pro, player. I'm over here with you, Viper.
That's right. You all know that I think the 11 Pro matching my smartphone of the year for 2019. And like I said, I know I call myself the captain of Team Apple, but it's not out of an Apple bias. Before this year, I had never gave an iPhone smartphone of the year. It was always the Note 8 or Note 9. But this year, Apple just made their changes that need to be made. They made the tweaks and refinements that just made the iPhone the best overall iPhone experience ever. I mean, that's not really saying much. But this year, it just meant more than usual. Now, is it perfect? Absolutely not, because iOS 13 is a dumpster fire, more or less. But using the actual phone, if we're talking about just the phone in a vacuum, using the iPhone 11 Pro or Pro Max is a dream. Like TJ said, that battery life is better than any other phone out there, including the Huawei phones. I mean, you got the screen brightness, which they turned up this year. You got the build quality. You got the improved water resistance. You got the triple link camera finally on iPhone. The night mode. Everything, all of these features that Apple tweaked and refined give us the best iPhone experience ever, and an experience on any smartphone that is better than anything out this year. And I've used the Pixel 4, I've used the S10, I've used the Note 10, I've used all of these phones. I even used the OnePlus 7 Pro. So like I said, it's not just coming from an Apple bias. It's having used all these phones this year. I can honestly tell you guys that the 11 Pro and Pro Max are the best phones this year.
And you know how I know Apple did it this year, man? Mm-hmm. I seen the people who are strong Android users actually consider this phone. I seen people even switch from Android to the iPhone. And, you know, man, the battery life is crazy, because I had the smart battery case on the XS Max.
I do,
and
too.
That, like, changed. Like, I loved it. I love the case. It's big, it's bulkier, it's heavier, but what it gave you in battery life and convenience was well worth it. And the fact that I could get that in a slim body iPhone, and like literally I forgot to charge my phone last night. And I went throughout my day, you know, I get up early in the morning. I had to go throughout my day. I looked, I was like, man, I forgot to charge my phone. I made it through, no problems. And just that comfort right there. The camera, man, Apple, you know, they snuck up because people didn't see it coming. The attention they put on the camera. And you know, it's funny because sometimes I see in tech space, like, some people question, why do people do camera reviews? Why is camera? Okay, let me just put something in plain terms, man. Numbers and analytics is what it is, man. I was speaking to a couple of people. When I speak to people who aren't in the tech, and the number one thing they want on a smartphone is a camera.
Thank you.
Do your research and go out there and speak to regular people. Maybe this is a video idea for you, or, you know, some of those creators that say this, because I'm telling you, all people care about out there is the camera. So that's why that's the focus. Apple put focus. They know what they're doing. They study their users. They study consumers, and they answer the bare minimum of needs that they have to keep a consumer in there. You know, you see, they don't go the extra mile. They don't put all this sauce. And technically, the fact that they're still successful with all that extra, without all the extra sauce, imagine if Apple just was like, all right, we're going to give them that sauce, which they started to give us with this 11 Pro. And that's why it's changing the game. And I hope they keep bringing that sauce in the 2020, player.
No doubt. Yo, shout out to my man, Savage Scientist, for the super chat. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
They definitely need that. What do you put?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yes, iOS definitely needs real life multitasking, not that app switching monkey crap that they currently have. There's a bunch of crap, but we're not going to get into that. But like TJ said, though, the camera is the most important thing. It's the biggest selling point on smartphones right now. I just made a video about this 2 weeks ago because I was having a debate with my man LeBaron Burton about this. He was talking about how people care more about battery life. No. People do care about battery life, yes, but if you go out there, like TJ said, and you talk to the average everyday person and ask them what they're looking for most or what they need most on their smartphone, they're going to tell you a camera, a good camera. Why? because the camera is the only thing on a smartphone that provides that visceral connection between human and phone. The camera triggers their emotions. They want to capture moments of their life. They want to be able to record their kids growing up. They want to be able to take pictures in the moment. If that world star hip hop moment drops off, you got to have a capable camera to record that or take that picture. The camera is what triggers that emotional response. That's why the camera is so important in smartphones. And like CJ said, this is why the camera is such a big focus of smartphones every year, because the camera is the only proper smartphone that could trigger that emotional response from humans. And that is why it will remain important for the foreseeable future.
And yo, and shout out to LeBaron, because he brings up battery, which is another important thing. And guess what was checked off with this iPhone? Battery. Camera.
Yeah.
Like, this camera's so good, I'll use it for B-roll, man. I ain't got to whip out the big camera. I've done and produced videos. Like, my B-roll for the Pixel 4 XL was all shot on the iPhone 11 Pro. A lot of it, like the handheld, like, man, it's really good and it's convenient. And you know, the iOS is iOS. So the funny thing is, like, you know, with iPhones, not much changes, like, in the software. Like, if you use the iOS, you've pretty much used every iPhone to a degree. But that's good, and that's comforting to people who stick to it. Like, they don't have to worry about big changes and having to relearn. You never have to relearn iOS.
No, not at all.
Never. And, like, people got to understand, simplicity goes a long way. People... like, time is, like, come on, man. Time is valuable, and time is not, like, plentiful. People trying to live, man. People trying to be out here, man. And like Viper said, they're trying to capture the moments with the camera. They want to capture their moments. They want it to look good, and they want to get on about their life. They ain't got time to be sitting here fiddling and learning the phone and getting all deep and logical with it. But to all my Android users, shout out to y'all. Respect, man. That's what I like about Android, is the appeal, the fact that you can get in there and get deep and customize it. But everyone doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, most average consumers want their phone to just work, and that's why iOS is probably the most popular operating system still, because, like CJ said, it hasn't changed much over the 12 years it's been in existence. It's still the same basic functionality and use case. How you use it hasn't really changed in the past 12 years, and while some people might find fault with that, that is why the average consumer gravitates towards iPhone more than anything, because it hasn't changed, and they know how to just pick it up and use it. It's so easy, even your grandma can use it. So that's why iPhone is the preferred phone right now. So we are fastly running out of time, which is kind of crazy, but I got to talk to you about your unique experience this year, because you know that I know that you went to Vid Summit 2019. Now, I went to Vid Summit 2018, and it was the time of my life. So I can only imagine the time that you had at Vid Summit 2019. So tell us about your experience out there in LA this year at Vid Summit.
Number one, if you're a creator or an aspiring creator and you're serious, you have to go to Vid Summit. This was life-changing as a creator, dude. Like, hands down, my favorite experience of 2019 was going to Vid Summit. Dude, like, just the environment, the energy, the fact I was just speaking to creators, man, a lot of creators that I watch, and it's just normal convo. These people share the same battlefield as you. Everyone's on the same side, man. We all are just there to improve ourselves, to grow. Like, it was so unselfish. It was crazy. And I'm so glad that the majority of the people that go there, and I guess, like, the barrier of entry is what helps weed out, like, the nonsense. But dude, it was just the best energy, the best vibe, a lot of great information. Just the interactions with the people, man, and other creators was, like, invaluable, dude. I absolutely loved it. So I highly want to give a shout out to Daryl E, Sean Durez, and Mr. Beast, and anyone else that's involved with creating this summit, because it is absolutely amazing.
It really is. Like I said, I went back in 2018. I had the time of my life. Like CJ said, it's like a creator paradise. You got all your fellow creators in one spot, and there's no class hierarchy because of sub count. Nope. Bigger creators don't care what your sub count is. You come up, you say hello. They'll ask you what you do, what your content's about, things like that. And then a lot of creators there have a mutual interest. You can vibe off of that. It's just an amazing environment to be in. And I hope I can get back in 2020. I don't know, but I hope I can get back in 2020.
Oh, we getting Viper there. You got to be there, player, because I still got to meet you in person, man. I got to meet El Jefe and Travis, and that was super dope to meet them. And that's another great thing. You get to meet other creators. And not once, you know, Viper brought up something about subs. Not once did anyone ask me how many subs I have. Like, no matter who I was talking to, dude, like I had the opportunity to meet Casey Neistat and Peter McKinnon. Like, I didn't ask Peter for a photo or anything like that, but literally, and it was like very intimate setting. It was just like Casey, Peter, and me and Devin and stuff. And man, I met a lot of people, man. Sydney, man, a lot of great creators. And I seen a lot of great creators that I watched. So, man, I can't say enough that it was really dope. And it wasn't, and I had people, everyone was pouring in info and just giving it up, dude. Like, I learned so much. And that's why going into 2020, you're going to see a big shift and change coming from me, man.
No doubt. So I got to ask you, what is your number one takeaway from VidSummit?
My number one takeaway?
Yep.
I think my number one takeaway for me personally, like what I was for me to just like step back and to really see the big picture of like what we have in front of us. I don't think people understand like the opportunities and like what we are, like this day and age is amazing. So to be able to step back and just see it like full view, like man, that was like the best thing for me.
Yeah, it's really, like you said, I don't think people realize the opportunity that they can create for themselves because of the internet and what the internet can give you. I mean, we're on YouTube, and YouTube is a platform that has 2 billion monthly active users. So you are potentially in front of 2 billion eyes every month, and that can provide you a world of opportunity. And like my man Roberto Blake always says, even if you don't have the highest view count on your videos, it only takes one view to change your life. Me and TJ are living proof that it only takes one view to change your whole life. So just put yourself out there, take chances, and let this new wave of technology and internet take you to wherever it is that you want to go, because the opportunities are out there and they are amazing.
100,000%, you guys.
So before we get out of here, I think somebody was in the chat earlier. They wanted to know about your meeting Casey Neistat at 368 or wherever you, I think, I don't know if you met him there or at VidSummit or just you meeting.
Okay, I met Casey at VidSummit. And it's all like, look, here we go. I'm always going to say relationships. I'm always going to keep it a buck. The reason why I was able to be that close and meet Casey was because of Devin. See, you never know. Like, it's funny, man. The two people who are around me, who I'm close with, like Terry and stuff. See, this is another testament to that numbers don't matter. They're smaller than me, and they got contacts that are bigger than me. And my friendships and my connection with them, which is all authentic and pure, has allowed me opportunities. And here's a fun story about Casey Neistat. Before VidSummit, the first day we landed in LA, we got our rental car before we could check into the hotel, because you know you can only check in a certain time. We was like, all right, let's go to Venice Beach. Driving down there, and I look over to Devin. I tell him, we're gonna see watch us see Casey down here. And literally while we're driving, Casey was on a bike with his wife and his daughter, like in some, you know how Casey is, man. He built some stuff. He got some kind of crazy bike. And they're riding, and I'm like, bro, there go Casey. So like we pull up on the side of him and say what's up to him, and you know, and he knows Devin. He's like, what you doing out here and all that stuff. But that was a fun fact. And then I think that, see, this is all about intention. And I believe in the universe. I believe in putting stuff out there and stuff. So like that right there, I think opened up so that when he saw us at VidSummit, he's like, come back. And he took us in the green room and chill with us and spoke with us for a minute, man. So like, man, I just want you guys to know, man, it ain't about numbers. It's nothing about that. It's all about your belief and your faith in yourself and what you can manifest.
Man, that is such a positive and true message, man. Like you said, it's not about sub count. It's not about view count. It's about your belief in yourself. Like CJ said, if you have the faith and belief in yourself to achieve whatever it is that you want, I mean, like CJ said earlier, we are in the golden age of technology. You can accomplish damn near anything you want if you put in the grind and the work to get there. And I believe in myself, CJ believes in himself. There's a lot of you creators watching this live stream or listening to this podcast. You believe in yourself, and we are all going to make a difference because we have that self-belief to get things done. And that is the way to go here in 2019 and beyond.
Hey, I can't echo that enough, man. Please, like, figure out how to have self-awareness and build your mind up to have like faith in yourself and to believe in yourself, build up your self-esteem. Trust me, I know I come from the bottom. I come from low self-esteem. It took a lot of reverse engineering of my mind to build the confidence that I have now, and I'm still building up more. So I just want to really throw that out there. Like, a lot of people think the key to success and the key to confidence, like, it's really about, it starts with you. Like, there's no outside force that's stronger than you. So you need to, like, really focus on yourself, build yourself up. And then that's when Peter McKinnon sees something in you and gives you a shout out because of the faith you have in yourself. And that's what happened with Cody. And it can happen to you. Same thing when Casey reaches out and he shoots out someone. But it's not even about the shout out and stuff. I'm just telling you to focus on you because that everyone sees it. Your viewers, the brands, the bigger people in your niche, and that's what matters most, man. Like, we got an opportunity to go to Jonathan Morrison Studio. That's not just off of out the blue. That's just, like, people are watching. People see what's going on.
No doubt, man. Like TJ Key fan, believe in yourself and the rest will follow. Shout out to Mr. 100,000, Mr. Everyday Dad. Hey. Super chat. Appreciate my investment in this shirt. I appreciate you, Everyday Dad. And again, shout out and congratulations for recently hitting 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, bro. I see you out there doing your thing. I don't know if he came in here because I was talking about him earlier, changing camera as much as he does. Maybe he heard I was talking about him.
Mr. Black Friday himself.
Right.
Every day is Black Friday with my man.
Every day.
I love the Everyday Dad. Me and him have, like, the same mind towards technology and camera equipment. People don't know this. Literally, we see it the same way. And I just don't grab and touch as much as him, but I want to. Which is why I'm trying to build up the relationship so I can as well. Though.
Yo, he's not called the Everyday Dad because he's the Everyday Dad. He called the Everyday Dad because he has a new camera every day. That's how he gets down. I see you, man. I see you. Yo, CJ No Tech, it's been a blast, man.
Yo, Vibe, thank you for having me, bro. I really appreciate this, man. We definitely going to do this again.
Oh, we got to. But before we get out of here, let the people know where they can find you.
I mean, hey, CJ Knows Tech. If you Google that, I'm pretty sure my YouTube will show up. That's what I am on YouTube. All social media platforms, CJ Knows Tech. Google me or go to YouTube. Check me out. YouTube is where I'm active. And then if you want to reach me on social media, I'm more active on Twitter. I create a new word. I'm over here on the
Meet Chili. I got to use that.
So I'm most active on Twitter, but hey, yo, IG, you hit me in the DMs. I see it and stuff too.
Yo, for those of y'all listening on audio only, I will have all of his information in the show notes, of course. If you're watching on YouTube, you know where to find him. But other than that, that's going to be it for Vibe Drop episode 48. I will be back next week with episode number 49. Kind of crazy. I started this podcast in January of this year, and we are fastly approaching episode 50, which is just crazy. But until the next time, people, this your boy Viper, the man about tech. You know where to find me. So come back for more.